your presence. We do have visitors with us. Glad to see Brother Bob this morning, so many others. God certainly deserves our very best, our utmost for His glory and honor. And I pray that as we have worshiped Him this morning, that that's what we've been giving Him and will continue to do so, even as we look into His Word for a while and try to apply the things that we find to our lives, that we might be better servants of His, glorifying Him in all that we do. The lesson this morning is taken in way from a lesson that I heard last Sunday afternoon. I went over to Pepper Road and heard my friend Lowell Salee preach on going the second mile. He used me as an illustration in his sermon. A few of you were there and know this. He said that he knows me, and if he came here to hear me preach, this isn't exactly his words, but basically if he came here to hear me preach, whatever I preached on, you know, he'd probably have the attitude, well, that was okay, you know, but if I were doing it, I would have done something different, or I'd have done that a different way or whatever. And he'd have to go the second mile to accept, you know, me preaching the way I'm preaching. And I'll just say, for Lowell's not here this morning, but you can tell him when you see him, same back to him. You know, I'd have to go to him. But he had some good things to say in that lesson. I'm not really going to preach his lesson, but I thought as he was preaching and had several wonderful points, that some of them had to do very much with our theme here at Eastside this year, which is serving God by serving one another, and that how servants need to learn to go that second mile in being servants. The concept of going the extra mile or the second mile, of course, comes from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41, where Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." That practice of government officials compelling citizens into service appears to go back into the Persian Empire for its origin. Cyrus the Great had couriers that he'd send from his court, and he wanted to get messages throughout the empire very quickly. And so he made it a law that citizens had to help these men get the messages just as quickly as possible throughout the empire. That concept spread then later into Roman law. And in Jesus' day, as many of you know, the deal was that if a Roman soldier, no matter how lowly he might be, if he needed you to help him bear a burden or carry his pack, that he could ask you to do that, compel you to do that, for the distance of 1 mile. The Roman Empire, of course, was famous for all of its roads, the saying, all roads lead to Rome. And all roads in the Roman Empire, there were about 50,000 miles of Roman roads in the Roman Empire. And most all of them had mile markers. Every Roman mile, which is a little shorter than our mile, but every mile or so, there'd be a stone marker to mark exactly the distance, and there'd be directions to the next town or destination or whatever. But in that system of Roman roads, as a soldier would be traveling along, and again, it just may have been the lowliest corporal in the army. If he felt the need to ask you as a subject of the Roman Empire or as one who was experiencing the occupying forces of the Roman army in your land, like they were in Judea and Palestine at the time, he could tell you, you pick up my pack or you pick up this load and you march it a mile. And you could be doing anything in the world, most important thing in the world. Why, which in the case of the ladies, of course, would be fixing supper for their husbands. But whatever it was, whatever you were doing, you had to drop it. Didn't matter who you were. You could have been a nobleman. You could have been an important person in Jewish society. Could have been a young person. Could have been a child. Maybe you were playing a game with your friends. Whatever it was, whoever you were, from the high to the low, if the Roman soldier said, pick up this pack and carry it, that's what you had to do. Imagine, suppose that the Taliban conquered the United States. Suppose this was a rule that they imposed upon us. Imagine how humiliating that would be. Former officials in our society men of wealth and renown and importance, having to carry a pack for somebody who was just a corporal in an occupying army. But that's the way it was in Palestine in the first century. And the instruction of Jesus is, whoever compels you to go that 1 mile, you go the second mile with him. Stop whatever you're doing. Follow the command of that foreign soldier in your homeland. Not only follow that command, but do twice what he's asking. How inconvenient. How unreasonable. How humiliating. Most of us would say it was unreasonable to go the first mile. It's inconvenient to go the first mile. But Jesus is asking us to go beyond what's inconvenient. To go far beyond. In the context of Matthew chapter 5, in that section of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, in essence, I think the meaning in the context again, is that to love one's neighbor is the first mile. Sometimes we find that hard enough to do, don't we? Just to love our neighbors. To treat our neighbors the way we want to be treated. To be concerned with their well-being every bit as much as we're concerned with our own well-being. But that's only the first mile. The second mile is to love your enemy in that same way. In the context of Matthew 5:41, to bless those who bless you, that's the first mile. Someone blesses you, someone prays for you, and then they're in need of prayer, and you pray for them. Dedicated life of prayer, praying for our loved ones, praying for those who bless us. It takes quite a bit of work. That's the first mile, though. But we're to bless those who curse us. To ask God to help those who are against us, who would harm us, who curse us. That's the second mile. I want you to notice as we look at these things that if we were honest with ourselves, most of us would say, well, you know, that first mile's tough enough. I just have a really hard time with that first mile. But Jesus is asking us to do the second. He's telling us that we must. To do good to those who do good to you. That's the first mile. That's easy to do. Well, relatively. But to do good to those who hate you. That's the second. Praying for those who pray for you is the first mile. Praying for those who despitefully use you is the second mile. Let me ask you this morning. Are you a second mile servant when it comes to being a servant of God by serving others? Do you do what you're supposed to be doing? Or do you do beyond what you're supposed to be doing? That's the application of the principle that we'd like to look at this morning. Do you have brethren who are second mile servants? As you look around, I can identify several, I think if I had to point them out and name them, that we have here sitting in this room who are definitely second mile servants, who go above and beyond the things that are required to serve others. What about you? What about your brethren? Are you sure that you're a second-mile servant? Are you sure that there are brethren who are second-mile servants? In the book of Philemon, those of you who are familiar with the book realize that Philemon was a slave owner. He had a slave by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus had run away, apparently, and had happened upon Paul in prison. And from every indication, from what Paul says, Paul was responsible for the conversion of Onesimus, teaching him the gospel and bringing him to Christ. And now Paul is writing a letter back to the owner of this runaway slave, Philemon. And let me read to you what he says. Philemon 10. He says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. For I'm sending him back, You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. So Paul is sending Onesimus back, and he's basically saying, I want you to receive him back. I want you to take him back, this runaway slave. Well, that would be a difficult mile to travel. Runaway slaves deserve hanging, according to the law, hanging on a tree, a crucifixion, according to the law in the Roman Empire. That's what Onesimus deserved. But look at verse 15. Paul goes on and says, perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So now, I've not only got to take back this slave, become Philemon, I've not only got to take back this slave and accept him and not punish him as I might otherwise would have, but now I'm going to accept him as a brother and give him the treatment of a family member? That sounds like a second mile to me. So Paul says, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. I've got to receive Onesimus not just as a runaway slave whom I've forgiven, but as I was receiving the Apostle Paul himself. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that to my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do, look at that phrase, even more than I say. Whoa, wait. I'm taking the slave back. I'm Philemon. I'm taking the slave back. I'm forgiving him, all's well. But not only that, you've asked me to treat him as a brother, accept him as family. But not only that, you're sure, Paul, you're sure, you're confident that I'm going to do even more than you've asked me to do. Really? First mile, second mile, what's beyond that? I guess it's a third mile, right? Or that second mile just keeps on going. But the point is that Paul is sure of Philemon. Paul says, I have confidence that this is precisely what you're going to do. And it's fascinating to me that in this interchange between a master and a slave, that the master is being asked to be the second mile servant. Jesus is asking us to be second mile servants. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what you can do beyond that. Here's what you can do beyond that. And we need to be confident of being those kinds of servants. The second mile applies to two areas I'd like to talk with you about in our remaining time this morning. First of them has to do with helping brethren who are in physical need and showing them hospitality if that's what's needed. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 through 5, Paul says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Or ministering of the saints. Ministering is service. The members of the churches of Macedonia were serving the saints, giving Paul a gift of money, apparently, funds, to take to the saints in Jerusalem to help with their needs. And Paul says that the Macedonian brethren are just begging us in order to give this gift, that they might give this gift that had to do with serving Christians in another place. And Paul says, and not only as we had hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Macedonians impress me as second mile servants. You see, they not only gave what they had, not only what they were capable of giving. The way Paul explains it, they go beyond what they're capable of. Out of their deep poverty, they give to serve saints, to serve fellow Christians. What's the key to that? How do people give even if it were possible what they don't have to give? How do people do that? Paul says, here's the key. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. When you have given your total self to the Lord, when you've given Him all you are, have, and ever hope to be, then you can go that second mile with your brethren and that third mile and whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, you'll give to see to their needs, to help them. Because you've already given all of yourself. Jesus Christ. Going the second mile and seeing the needs, seeing to the needs of fellow Christians is a consequence of having truly given yourself to Christ. We will go the second mile when we have given ourselves to the Master. Go with me to Romans, the Epistle of Romans, chapter 12. This epistle starts in a very familiar way. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So you give yourself completely as a sacrifice to Christ, holy and acceptable. I want to go, we don't have time to look thoroughly through this context, but notice some things with me as you go on down. Based on this command, to give yourself totally, to sacrifice your body as a living sacrifice, Paul says some other things in this context. And he says in verse 4, as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, and what does that mean we said? Service. If we're ministering, what do we do it? How do we do it? Let us use it in our ministry. Why will we do? Why do we serve? Because we've given ourselves already to God. We've given ourselves totally to God. And you go on down in this context and look at chapter 12 and verse 13. Paul making application of some of these principles, and he talks about their distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And I've given myself to God already. And I'm going to be given to hospitality. Showing love to my brethren. Distributing to their needs. Sharing in their adversity. Helping out in whatever way I can and beyond even what I'm capable of. Because I've first given myself to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul commends those of the household of Stephanas, whom he says are the first fruits of Achaia. For they have, he says, devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. King James Version says they've addicted themselves. You ever known anybody that was addicted to a drug? Couldn't go without it. I've known people literally to spend their life savings, to go out and borrow money, put a second mortgage on their house, lose everything because they were addicted to a drug. You know people like that? It's a bad addiction. But our addiction to serving saints is a good addiction. It may use us up just like that. We may spend and be spent and beyond even what we're capable of. But if we've first given ourselves to God, we'll be devoted, addicted, ministering to the saints, as with the household of Stephanas. So hospitality. Our help and our hospitality will be given to others, especially those who can't give anything back, especially those who can give us nothing in return. Luke chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." A servant of Christ goes the second mile for those who have no way of ever going a mile for him. A servant of Christ goes the second mile without any hope or expectation of being paid back for it. He does it because it's what his master has done for him. I'll talk some more about that at the end of the lesson in just a moment, but we're willing to do for those who can never do for us, because that's what Jesus did when he came to this world and gave himself for you and me. In the world that we live in today, there are a lot of modern businesses, especially service industries, that have learned this business trick of going the second mile in service. You go into some establishments and you know, it's hard to get any service, but you go into other establishments and from the top down, apparently the corporation has decided that we're just going to be very, very totally given to providing top-notch service, going the second mile for all of our customers. And so you go into one of those kinds of businesses and, you know, people are just all over you. What can we do? How can we help? And you go to a restaurant that's got that mentality and, you know, they're refilling your tea before you can even take the first sip out of it and all that sort of thing. But they're doing it for an ulterior reason, aren't they? They want your business. Christians need to be serving others all the time. Not for what you can get from them, but because that's what the Lord did for you. A whole different motivation than what the world sees when it uses this going the second mile marketing trick. It's not a marketing trick. It's a way of life. I've been associated with organizations before in the world where, you know, people come in, they have speakers come in, and they talk about, you know, having this second mile service and going above and beyond in order to... As Christians, we're supposed to be doing that all the time. We don't do that to make our business better. We do that because we're representatives of Jesus Christ. Second mile of health and hospitality. We'll go so far as to even gladly and energetically serve water to the camels. You may wonder about the reference there, but I invite you to go back to Genesis chapter 24. And you'll remember that Abraham had sent his servant to Mesopotamia to find a wife for his son. The servant comes in the evening to a place where some young women were coming to a well to draw water. And he happens upon Rebecca. Rebecca comes out to draw water. And she offers him a drink. He prayed that one of these young ladies would do that so he might identify the one that the Lord would have him take back for his master's son as wife. So she offers, Rebecca offers Abraham's servant a drink. And then, look what she does in Genesis 24 and verse 20. She quickly emptied her pitcher and ran to the trough and ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. He had 10 camels with him. Did you know that a thirsty camel can drink 20 to 30 gallons of water at a time? I'm not real good at math, but she's hauling 200 to 300 gallons of water, having to draw it up from a well, says she's running to do that for the camels. That's the second mile, isn't it? You not only give the fella something to drink, but you're taking care of his camels like this. And it was no small task, I guarantee you that. We don't know how many other of the young women were gathered around the well. Did she have to wait her turn? What the distance was from there to where the camels were, and all, and how big her pitcher was? None of that. But the idea was there had to be a lot of water to water 10 camels. That's second mile service. That's second mile hospitality. To go well above and beyond what anybody would consider necessary. I want us to think about that as it applies to each other here at Eastside. So many of us, so many of you, are so good to do to others and for others when there's a need. But is there more that we could be doing that's even beyond what we do now? There may be some here that aren't doing even that first mile when it comes to caring for your brothers and sisters in Christ. I encourage you to look at yourself and think about that. What about that second mile? Are you willing to water the camels? To do the thing that's menial and that's hard? Because you love your brothers and sisters. One other thing I want to talk about for just a minute. We talked about the second mile of service and hospitality. I want to talk about the second mile of forgiveness. And you might look with me in your Bibles at Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 3. Here's the first mile of forgiveness. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. First mile of spiritual service to your brother in Christ is, if he sins, you rebuke him. Please notice, does not say, if he sins, you complain about it, you get bitter about it, you go gossip about it, you go ask somebody else what you should do about it. None of that is in the first mile. The first mile is, if he sins, you rebuke him. If he repents, you forgive him. You forgive him. You forgive him. That's only the first mile. It doesn't say, check his oil first, make sure his repentance was real, you forgive him. Then, look at verses 4 through 10. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Really? Sounds like a second mile to me. You've already forgiven him once. 7 times in the day he comes back and says, I repent, you forgive him again and again and again and again and again and again and again. 7 times. One day. The apostle said, increase our faith. And Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he's done the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So the servant's been working all day in the field. That's maybe the first mile. Then the second mile is he comes in, and he doesn't get to relax. He serves his master. So likewise, when you've done all that, when you've done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done only what was our duty to do. So when I've gone that first mile, and then I've gone that second mile, and I've done everything I can possibly do, all I am is an unprofitable servant of my master who gave everything for me. And gone the first mile, and I've gone the second mile in forgiving my brother. We act like that's such a big deal. Just to forgive the way Christ forgave us. We pretend we're so magnanimous. We're so loving, we're so kind, we're so generous when we do that. And Jesus is, in essence, in this context, what he's saying is, all you are when you've forgiven the one time and then the seven times, you know what you are? You are an unprofitable servant. Because that's your duty. You have only done what's your duty to do. And then there's another mile still. One time, seven times, 70 times seven. Wow. What a challenge. Forgive that, not once, not seven times, but that 490 times. Matthew chapter 18, Peter comes to Jesus and asks him that question. Matthew 18 and verse 21. How often shall I, my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Maybe Peter was thinking about Jesus' other instruction. I don't know which came first, really. I'm not sure. But in any case, Jesus says up to 70 times 7. And you know, then Jesus tells this parable of the unforgiving servant, the servant who owed his master 10,000 talents, more than he could possibly repay in his whole lifetime. If he were given many lifetimes, he could never earn that money to repay his master back. And yet his master forgives him. And then that same servant goes and finds a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii, 100 days' wages, which is a sum of money, but it's doable. You could pay that back. Give me a couple of years and I could pay that back. But he takes that servant, and when he doesn't get his money, throws him in prison. His fellow servants were grieved at what he'd done. The master punishes the unforgiving servant. The master had gone how far? How many miles? To forgive that servant. Of that huge debt. What had the master lost? A fortune. Though he was rich, yet he became poor for our sakes, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Let's get back to the point. You see it? We go the second mile to serve. We go the second mile to forgive because that's what Jesus has done for us. Will you go the second mile to serve and forgive others? That's what Jesus did for you. He's your master. He's your Lord. Follow his example. Follow it day by day. And if he's not your master and Lord, own him as such today. He's given everything. He's shown by example what a full self-sacrifice is. He's asking you to give all of yourself to him so that he can give you eternal life. Would you do that this morning? Name his name. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Follow Jesus. Always stand upon this.